This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Neal, the latest game-changing fungicide from Syngenta. I don't mean to jinx it or anything, but we are working on back-to-back-to-back gains in U.S. equities. That hasn't happened for a while, and even with the Dow sharply higher, cattle futures were limit down. We haven't seen that combination for a while either. Oh, and you know what? I have just got to do this. Happy 90th birthday to Jessup, Iowa farmer Roland Renchi. Happy birthday, sir.
Live from Soft Quarantine via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Phil Conrad from Tradis LLC. And right after the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre!
Thank you so much, Davis. Yeah, and I tell you what, I'm going to be watching the phone lines really closely here, because when Oliver calls in, we're going to go straight to him, because he's got some splaining to do. How in the heck can we have the Dow up 1,000 points where we're at now and have cattle futures sharply limit to limit down, or sharply lower to limit down? I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. We'll talk to Phil about it, too, and try to figure out exactly what is going on there. But just kind of some weird price movement going on in the markets today. And
I don't get it, especially with the cattle, with such strong cash market action here and such a discount in the futures. What? I don't get it.
Right. Yeah, well said. Well said. I just don't get it either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got to get somebody in here that does get it and see if we can.
We need somebody really smart. Somebody smarter than us, dude.
That's right. That's right. We've always said on this show, we may not know all the answers, but I think we know where to find them.
Exactly.
And that's why we're going to be talking to Oliver in just a bit and Phil for the rest of the show then. Yeah, mixed trade in the grains. I'm going to call it just steady to slightly higher in corn, steady slightly higher in most soybean contracts. The wheat market didn't want to play along and closed lower today. So, all right, man, let's get to it.
Well, Chip, May SRW wheat futures opened slightly lower, rallied to test resistance at yesterday's high, and then went on the defensive for most of the day session. The high range open, low range close in an inside day formation points to consolidative price action to end the week. The market continues to search for signs that exporting countries are restricting movement and signs that importing countries are stockpiling just-in-case supplies. The price pressure on wheat came despite export sales of 1.1 million metric tons in the weekend of March 19, with 740,000 tons of old crop sales and more than 366,000 metric tons of new crop export sales in the week. May hard red winter wheat was 13¾ cents lower, 487¼. May soft red fell 11 cents to 569 even. May spring wheat fell 6¼, 531¼, Chip.
I don't know what more proof we need than those old crop and new crop sales of wheat getting over 1.1 million for proof that importers are booking those just-in-case supplies. Seems pretty obvious to me.
Excuse me there. Corn futures fought back to post a steady to slightly higher close after penetrating support at yesterday's lows earlier in the session. Much of the support for corn prices came from the weekly export sales report. USDA reported sales of 1.897 million metric tons in the weekend of March 19. Of that total, 1.814 million is for old crop shipments. China was the top buyer in the week, booking more than 750,000 metric tons of corn. In normal times, that sales report would have sent corn prices solidly higher. But with COVID-19-related demand destruction in the ethanol market, corn prices will likely have a difficult time building upside momentum. May corn futures were a quarter of a penny higher at 348¾. July corn was up 0.75 cents to 354¼. December 2020 corn closed at 367¼. Steady on the day, Chip.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much, Davis, because I want to take a break here. We've got Oliver on the phone, and I want to jump straight to him. He just called in this moment. So, Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures, how you doing, buddy?
No, I'm hanging in there. How about yourself?
Not doing too bad, but you've got some splaining to do. How can we have stocks and the Dow as posting the gains that it did during livestock trade, and we still end up with live cattle futures sharply lower to limit down, feeder cattle sharply lower, and lean hogs mostly limit down today? I don't get it. What am I missing?
Yeah. it's pretty ugly, and we've kind of started to see it decouple a little bit last week. I mean, that for almost a month it was 1-to-1. I think the correlation was 92% with April in stocks for the last month, and that started to kind of getting a little wobbly last week. And obviously, we got a tremendous rally off the lows in cattle, and I think the big concern for people going forward is, well, you know, people's freezers are stocked, restaurants are closed, and unemployment numbers are going to tick up. What's left to feed the bull? So I think you got this tremendous rally up in the cash market, in the box market, but looking past that, you know, in the next week or two, I think those are going to subside a little bit lower, and it'll be kind of like the bell curve we've seen with the coronavirus. It'll be like that for the cash and the boxed beef prices as well, unfortunately.
Okay. You know, that makes sense, but I don't know if the April contract being limited down to 105.45 with the cash trade happening at 120 makes a lot of sense to me.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. April and June, I thought, would have held quite a bit better. We were hoping to get a little bit more follow through yesterday and today to get a little bit more aggressive on getting some hedges on with guys, and even from the spec side, looking at on the short side of things, but just weren't able to do it. I think the computers kind of beat people to the punch, and okay. It's just one of those environments. I don't think, you know, that we're going to go straight down again like we saw over the past couple weeks. It's just a choppy environment. We're going to see big up days and big down days. That's what happens when you get a little volatility. It invites more volatility into the markets.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned that June contract. Some surprise that it couldn't hold up, too, because what is it now? It's like 26, 27 bucks under the cash market. That just seems crazy.
It's pretty tough to wrap your head around.
And how do you use it? You can't use that market to manage risk then, can you, Oliver?
Not at these prices. Maybe, you know, a couple months ago, if you had some hedges on, you'd be sitting all
sure.
right with the basis where things are at now. But with prices where they're at now, I don't think that you'd be, you know, looking to rush it and buy protection right here, right now. I think one of the big concerns, and I don't know that it's a realistic concern, but it's a possibility, not a probability. And when you're talking about managing risk in the markets, you always have to think about the possibilities. And I think one of the concerns is the potential that, you know, these plants maybe reduce capacity. And yep. I was talking to somebody in Amarillo earlier this morning. They said they had two cases down at a Tyson plant down there. So those are lingering concerns. Not necessarily going to, you know, shut everything down, but you cannot ignore that that's a possibility.
Yeah, that's a good point, Oliver. That really is. Okay, man, any other words of wisdom here before we let you go?
I tell you what, this corn market has held up really pretty well despite some of the headwinds out there on top of the ethanol and the acres report that's probably going to come out pretty big. It's been holding its own. There's been kind of some chatter with guys I've been talking with that China might be coming in, buying some more beans. That might be helping support the price. But I think ultimately, if we get this market to rally another 10 or 15 cents, I think producers are going to want to take advantage of that and look at potentially hedging some things off.
Excellent. Oliver, stay safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.
All right, that is Oliver Sloat, Blue Line Futures, with, okay, that's an acceptable argument. We've been talking about that. Now that the home freezers are more full than they have been in a very long time, where does the demand come from next? Okay,
right.
When we come back, we're going to finish up the news, and then we are going to get to Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC, right here on AgriTalk. As we enter the new year, many corn growers look back to the 2019 season for insights on what to do differently in the season ahead. Today, I'm talking with Phil Krieg, Agronomy Services Representative with Syngenta, for his insights. Phil, reflect back on 2019. How did the weather impact, and it was a crazy weather year, but how did it impact disease pressure in your area?
It certainly had a lot of impact. You know, every year it seems like we're facing extremely unpredictable weather, and growers are starting to get used to the abnormal. Yeah. And so 2019 was no exception. You know, we started off the planting season with Mother Nature against us. Most growers were faced with a very late start, much later than anyone is accustomed to. Right. I had fields with growers with fields that were covered in water facing unusually late or no plant situations. for those who could plant late, and many of us were able to get in just in the nick of time, those wet fields caused a lot of problems and made more corn susceptible to a lot of diseases. We saw cases of fields with Physoderma brown spot, which is not very common. You don't see it every year, but boy, did it show up this year.
Yeah.
And just lots of stalk rots caused by wet soils. Late planting put the corn in the reproductive phase much later than normal,
right,
during a time of high humidity, heavy dews, and longer nighttime hours. So diseases like gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, southern corn rust were very common.
Right.
So anywhere where we saw growers that didn't spray a preventative fungicide,
yep,
really experienced compromised yields.
Yeah, no question about that. All right. Thank you, Phil. That was Phil Krieg, Agronomy Service Representative with Syngenta. We'll be hearing more from him next week about last year's challenges and what growers can do to prepare for this season.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
You can also tweet at us. Just include that hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Dow is backing off of the highs from earlier. We're now about 800 points higher, Davis. Let's go ahead and wrap up that news, should we?
Yeah, we'll pick it up at soybeans, where export sales also top trade expectations, totaling more than 904,000 metric tons. Unknown destinations in China top the list of buyers. Reports that Chinese soybean stocks are the tightest in a decade should help to limit selling interest in bean futures. May soybeans 1 1/4 lower, 880 and a quarter. July, steady, 884 and three quarters. November bean futures closed at 879, up a penny and a half on the day. Let's see. Choice boxed beef prices were off $1.86, and select beef dropped 65 cents in morning trade on relatively slow movement that erased buying interest from live cattle. Yeah. April live cattle futures were $3 lower, 105.45. August cattle off 270, 94.47.5, and April feeders were down $3.62.5, 125.10. And on the snout side, lean hog futures also closed sharply lower, with April lean hogs down 290 at 62.90, and July hogs limit down at 70.60. Chip, a communique came out just a short time ago from USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey. Ooh. I believe Big Apple Joe has the audio on that. You want to run that real quick?
U.S. Department of Agriculture service centers nationwide will continue to conduct business, but by phone only. Field work will continue with appropriate social distancing as a precautionary measure to help prevent the spread of coronavirus. While program delivery staff will continue to come into the office, they will be working with producers by phone and using online tools whenever possible. All service center visitors wishing to conduct business with USDA's Farm Service Agency, Natural Resources Conservation Service, or any other service center agency are required to call to schedule a phone appointment. USDA continues to look at flexibilities to deliver programs on behalf of producers, just as they have in the past in times such as natural disasters. Farmers and ranchers are resilient, and USDA will continue to deliver disaster assistance, safety net, farm loan, and conservation programs that keep American agriculture in business today and long into the future. For the most current updates on available services and service center status, visit farmers.gov/coronavirus.
Farmers.gov/coronavirus.
Yep.
Farmers.gov/coronavirus. All right.
You're
Thank
writing
you,
that down?
Yes, I got it. Yeah, different times, man. If you've got something that you have to do at the FSA, you got to make a phone call. There's no just stopping by the office and getting things done right now. It's not going to happen.
That's just where we are right now.
That's right. The realities of the situation are stranger than many of us could ever have dreamed up. But here we are. So we need to deal with it and move on. All right, Davis. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move on. We got Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC, on the line. Phil, it's good to talk with you again. How you doing out there?
Doing well, Chip. You got to be one of the luckier guys in the Midwest today. Not only did you get to talk to me, you also got to talk to Oliver earlier. So you are going to be full of knowledge, and hopefully have a few drinks today as well to ease the pain of the cattle market. I got that problem solved, though. I heard you and Ollie talking about it, but it's quite obvious to me. Obviously, big money is selling cattle and buying the stock market. It's simple. It's the excuse for everything, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything good out there in Lincoln?
Yep, everything's good. Beautiful day. We got our social distancing down pat. And like I told you earlier, I'd love to be sitting at a bar potentially. But being as they are all closed, you can sit outside and it's about 50 degrees in sunshine. Outside of basis taking a 40 cent decrease in the last probably 14 days and futures taking a 30 cent decrease in the last 2 weeks, things are looking up, man.
Yeah. That basis over there, Phil, it's because of the ethanol stuff, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you guess you could say you knew it was coming once you saw oil get chopped in half and our travel pretty much come to a standstill and all that oil is backing up. You know, on the flip side, I guess would be encouraging or exciting, and no one can answer this question today, but maybe China steps in and could empty some of our pipeline of ethanol or energies in general. And so when we do get back online and travel gets back to some sort of normality, whenever that may be, I'm assuming that's a lot further down the line than we care to admit is the problem.
Right.
Even if this all stops after Easter or any of this social distancing stops, they may, beginning of May time frame, I don't think anyone's doing backflips to go hop on a plane and go to Vegas either.
Right.
This thing's going to have a longer tail. That being said, corn has hung in there very well, like Oliver was saying as well. But you wonder how much of this was priced in or is priced in. You know, this will be the time as we roll into this report next Tuesday, and we got grain stocks on there as well. If you're in the camp of thinking that the crop wasn't out there last year and we have faulty numbers or whatever you want to call it, this would be the time for the USDA to maybe tweak some things around and give us a little support here, because at some point I think you got to flush the bottom out if ethanol is truly going to come to somewhat of a grinding halt, which it feels like currently.
Yeah, yeah. You know, some of these demand destruction numbers that we're talking about or seeing some estimates, Phil, on the gasoline demand front.
Yeah.
This is astonishing stuff. I mean, off 50 to 70%. I don't know how we come back from that when you get right down to it.
No, I mean, there's going to have to be something else, right? I think our feed demand is going to be higher. I mean, we have a record amount of cattle on feed, so that's going to help hopefully offset some of this. You flip on the other side, the ethanol side of things, you hope when we step back in and we do feel comfortable traveling again, we come back in a big way. But I do think this thing has a longer tail. It's too easy today to sit here and say, well, we can easily figure out how to get corn down to 320 because of all these demand factors. But just as easy it was last summer to think of every reason why we weren't going to go below $4 because all the prevent plant and the late planted corn.
Yeah. That is an excellent point.
It's easy. I mean, everything, the sky is falling today, and it feels better today than it did last week. Expect the unexpected, you know, whether that be prices going lower and higher than you think. I think, you know, a month ago, if you would have said you'd see oil at $20 and corn at $3.40 and at 40 under basis in most of Nebraska, you got laughed out of the place.
Right.
But that happened. So now the flip side of this is how much issues are we going to have planting, say, in the Dakotas, areas that are already wet that aren't going to take much rain. I think the prevent plant story is something that I hate to talk about, but it's going to be an issue this year, such as it was last year, because those acres are still saturated. We didn't have an overly dry winter across most of the Corn Belt.
Right, right. That's exactly right. And the acreage is a big question. And, you know, we're going to get our prospective plantings report next week, but that's not the end all be all either. There's still some movement that's going to happen after we get those numbers.
Well, you look at the prices today, and obviously those were what's taken back from the end of February, early March. Yep. So you go back to then, we were probably trading somewhere in that 380 type number on corn. 380 futures on corn make more sense to plant a lot of it than 360. And you look at beans where they're at, we're not significantly different. Beans have actually, outside of the big rundown, rallied back pretty good. Do you see some acres maybe go to wheat, maybe some more sorghum? I mean, there's going to be some flips out there, I would assume, for guys. And how many guys are going to be overly motivated to go plant corn? Nobody's sprinting to their tractor at these prices.
Yeah.
In a prevent plant scenario. So if it's wet and you're thinking, if corn's at 415, like we saw obviously last summer in June, corn at 440, people didn't care when it was. They were going to put it in the ground because they knew it was profitable as long as it made some decent yield.
Right.
At these prices, you got to have some pretty home run yields to feel extremely profitable at all. So they're going to drag their feet as much as possible for the right conditions to get in the field, thus pushing this issue down the road. So at some point, the market's going to focus from this demand destruction to what could happen supply-wise if we don't get enough planted. And if the USDA were to change some of these quarterly stock numbers, you might change the story a little bit. So again, I go back to it feels bad today, and you don't want to really make sales today necessarily. I mean, I don't mind buying, say, a short dated 360 put and selling a 390 call on top of it. At least give yourself a range to work around, because in the event corn does go to 290, there's not a whole lot you can do to recoup that type of loss. But you got to be in position to do something to better your farm. Not at least be moving your foot forward and saying, hey, I'm going to use 20% or whatever the number is today. You know, say get 20 to 30% sold on my insurance guarantee and keep moving this thing forward.
Good. Good. I like the way you're thinking there, Phil, because it's even when we are in what seem to be irrational times, you still have to have a rational approach to your marketing, and getting started and managing the risk that follows that is a pretty rational way of doing things. Good stuff, Phil. Hey, Phil, if you haven't taken a look at a cotton chart recently, please take a look at that during the break, because when we come back, I want to know which is pointing the way for us. Is the wheat market pointing the way for the corn and soybean trade, or is cotton pointing the way? We'll find out what Phil thinks next on AgriTalk.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. The global cases of COVID-19 jump above 500,000. This morning in FTT, it was near 500,000, but we are now over 500,000, with deaths globally at about 23,000 around the globe. Chinese crushers continue to clamor for soybeans. China's soybean inventories are at the lowest since at least August 2010. Soybean meal stocks are also at a 10-year low. Ukraine has no plans to restrict food exports. That's after Kazakhstan banned flour exports, and Russia continues to consider wheat export restrictions. And truckers are wrestling with increasingly splintered delivery networks as coronavirus-driven changes derail the retail demand and upend supply chains. That's today's Pro Farmer Headline News.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me, and we're talking to Phil Conrad from Tradus LLC out in Lincoln, Nebraska. Yeah. Before we get back to the conversation with Phil, let's go ahead and recap how the markets closed.
Chip, May hard red winter wheat was 13¾ cents lower today at 487¼. May soft red fell 11 cents to 569 even. May corn futures were a quarter of a penny higher at 348¾. Dease corn closed at 367¼, unchanged today. May soybean futures were 1 1/4 cent lower at 880 1/4. November bean futures closed at 879, up a penny and a half. On the livestock side, April live cattle futures were $3 lower, 105.45. April feeders down 362 1/2 at 125.10. And April lean hogs down 290 at 62.90. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, buddy.
All right. The Dow is up almost 1,000 points now, up 995 points. So big moves going on. You got the S&P up 5% now. NASDAQ is up like 4.3%, something like that. The Dow's up 4.7%. So big moves as we get into the final half hour of trade here. Okay. We're talking with Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Okay, Phil, at the end of the last segment, I threw out that cotton. You know, if you were long the wheat cotton spread, that might have been the trade of a lifetime there during March.
You didn't do that to start the month? That was a trade I put out.
Love it. Love it. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're buying a new house.
yeah, no kidding. Oh, so tell me, you know, when we take a look at what's going on with corn and what's going on with soybeans, and then you look at the big move in wheat, and you look at the big move in cotton, wheat to the upside, cotton to the downside, you know, which is it, wheat or is it cotton that's pointing the way?
Well, hopefully it's wheat. Obviously, we don't want to go through the same thing cotton went through. That's quite the destruction in that chart in the last month. Yeah. That being said, I mean, wheat's had a heck of a run. Obviously, that's easier to turn into a food source, any type of wheat is.
Yep.
And like you were saying, people hoarding it. So it makes sense for that to rally. And I don't want to say you want to throw these charts out because you're not – that sounds the wrong way to say things. But we had so much pressure across everything in the last 30 days as this coronavirus broke out and the stock market was selling off. You also saw beans and wheat rebound faster as corn turned around. Now, cotton's kind of stayed on that gradual decline the entire time, but there shouldn't be hardly anybody wanting to plant cotton at these type of levels.
Yeah.
So theoretically speaking, you should see a rally there and some sort of reversal happen. I am not a cotton economist, but that would be my forethought is at some point you have to entice people to plant cotton.
Yeah.
And also we're probably trying to get people to not plant corn too, because the balance sheet is so burdensome that if you're going to plant another 94 to 96 million acres, we got to have similar commodities such as a wheat or a soybean that can step in, steal some acres out of there, and get these balance sheets whittled down to a correct number. The market has a way of fixing itself, such as low prices cure low prices. Exports are better. I mean, things are going to balance out. It's just how long can you go through the pain and suffering in the midterm if you have to make decisions in here? How do you correctly navigate your way through them, right? So that's, in my mind, that's the hardest part is if you can weather any storm, you're going to see the light of day. Now, the oil deal, God forbid, if Trump was colluding with the Russians, I wish he would collude with them now so we could get this oil situation figured out. But obviously that doesn't appear to be the issue or the situation going on. So there's a lot of noise in the market, so you're seeing a lot of sell-off in certain areas. Cotton's been one that obviously has not partaken in any fun, where wheat on the other side ran things down pretty darn hard, followed everything else, and then bounced back in the last, you know, 10 days has seen a swift 60-cent-plus move. So I'd like to think wheat leads the market. It seems like wheat typically will tell you what corn's going to do, but we're also disconnected in the fact right now corn's whole backbone of demand is being shaken on the ground underneath it. And what's going to stop that is going to be what's going to dictate this market. It's just, the report even next week feels somewhat like it's not even real or going to happen.
I hear you.
All this other noise.
Yep. Yep. I hear exactly what you're saying there.
I mean, any other year, that's all you and I would be talking about, or we'd at least be touching on it more so, but it just feels like a non-story today. Oh, cool, we're going to plant another 94 million acres of corn. Well, great, what are we going to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
But if basis was, or if we're still at 370 and basis was still, you know, zero to overs, we'd definitely be concerned about that and what that looks like for the corn market. So you hope for maybe a bullish surprise in here at some point, and maybe there's more bleeding to be had, but the oil and demand situation on that side, wherever it comes from, is going to have to be straightened out, I think, before you get any really sustained long-term rally.
Okay. You know, I'm glad that you mentioned the potential impact of new crop cotton prices on plantings. because it's been in my mind, okay, maybe what the market is telling us is that, you know what, they're not going to get every acre planted in the northern plains because of the weather conditions and the soil conditions up there, but we've removed enough incentive to plant cotton in the south that we could see some more corn and soybean acres go in down there. Maybe that's what we're seeing.
You'd hope so, right? I mean, I do think, like I said, it all comes back. This thing will balance itself out,
yeah,
in some form or fashion. And so things are looking ugly today for cotton and looking ugly for corn. But at what point does that ship get flipped and say, okay, well, maybe we did do something different. Now, the acre thing, we're not going to know for a while. And so that's going to be a lingering story throughout the growing season. But is it not every growing season of us saying, well, these were the projected acres, but did we really get that planted? Or did we plant
right.
more beans? The guys, you know, we're going to have the same story. And this, me, Klein and I were talking about that this week. It's funny. We got a lot more outside noise this year for sure. And just a different world. It just feels weird. Even there's six of us in the office here. We're standing under that 10-person minimum. We all got our bubbles we're in, but it feels weird coming to work. It feels like half the world's working, the other half's not. It's hard to make heads or tails, but you got to keep your head somewhat screwed on straight in this time and know that these markets are going to play themselves through and wake up in 45 days and see where we're at and not make any rash decisions now unless you have to.
Yep. I like that. I like that a lot. You also mentioned this just very briefly, but I want to go back to it. Corn exports, man, they're going to save the balance sheet, aren't they?
Yeah, so I don't know about saving. Come on, Chip. But, that being said, I did have a client who's like super bullish corn. Obviously, it's easy. Everyone wants to be bullish corn all the time if you're a farmer, but I do too. But there is a story probably to be had there to say, if we ramp our exports up for, say, the next 6 weeks, and something flips on this ethanol demand side of things, and maybe we don't have as many bushels out there, basis was somewhat indicating to us that the bushels were in the wrong spot and most likely short bushels in most areas. So could this paint a more bullish story in 2 months? That our exports got ramped up, ethanol comes back online and wants to in a big way, what does that mean?
Right.
And whether we ever see it on the balance sheet or not, I think what you will see is a strong basis. And right now it's weak, but like I said, that's anytime you take your biggest end user on corn and wipe it out, you're going to have a heck of a time doing anything but go backwards on basis. You know, rail, there's a lot of no bid going on, a lot of bad situations. But I think you got to find a silver lining, and the fact that China's buying some corn is definitely a silver lining, and also just strong sales in general.
I mean, and Mexico,
$3.50.
The corn trade into Mexico is rock solid.
I mean, that's the thing, Chip. It's like, do we need to keep a strong pace the rest of the year? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
But be happy with what we have had, and know that we could be seeing some future things happen here and some more things being booked as we move forward. Because at the end of the day, our supply chain is strong. Even with this going on, we're still, our ability to perform nonstop, even in a crisis type situation, is second to none. So at some point, if South America has issues with any kind of supply chain, getting to the ports or the virus hits more down there, will people not come to the U.S. more because we are a safe haven in the fact they know we will perform, even if it means we got to get the frickin' National Guard out there to get things going.
Yep. Good stuff, man. You've mentioned a couple of times talking with clients. What else are you talking about with your clients right now?
You know, more trying to gauge where everyone's at. If you're wanting to be, if you're really nervous about the price action here, like I said, buying that put and selling that call, I think puts your mind at ease. You know, we're trying to push to get, say, 30% sold on an insurance guarantee. The other thing we've been going through with guys, and I think this is good for everybody, is to sit down and understand the PLC program and what that means for your farm in 2020. What are your base acres, your base yield, and know where you're protected at that 370 PLC number so you can make decisions based off that at these type of values. So in the event we go to 280, do you need to make any decisions down there? No, because you know you have a 370 floor on X amount of your bushels.
Yeah.
So understanding that and putting that income in with the rest of your marketing plan, I think, is a very important thing right now. And also just trying to keep everyone's spirits high. I think by and large, most guys are in pretty good mood. But, you know, they've been practicing social distancing their whole life. A lot of guys, farmers have. Yep. So this isn't a whole lot different other than you can't go in town and do anything to see anybody. So the one release they probably had outside of their family is gone now.
Right.
And so I definitely think there's that weighs on a guy mentally. So just checking in and keeping our heads screwed on straight and not making any decisions unless we have to, because we're in uncharted waters. I mean, right. There's nothing you can really put this towards. But what I will say, too, is this whole pandemic and everything else, it does put us in better position that, God forbid, down the road, something worse were to ever come about. We know the steps and procedures and how to operate without completely wrecking. I mean, we wrecked the economy this time, but say it happens again, we're going to be in a better situation than what we could be if this was the first time it happened.
Absolutely. Phil, it's always a joy to talk with you, man. You got such a great attitude. And this idea that you've got to maintain a normal approach to your marketing, stay active with your marketing while the world is falling down around us, I think that is so solid. That's Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC out of Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll have more AgriTalk in a moment.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
There's some new and exciting stuff coming from SIMPAS, and we've got Jason Jimerson with us. He is the SIMPAS project manager. What is SIMPAS?
Yeah, Chip. So it actually stands for Smart Integrated Multi-Product Prescription Application System.
That's simple.
It's a mouthful. That's why we just go with SIMPAS.
Yeah.
So it's an application technology a farmer will put on the back of their planter to prescriptively apply multiple inputs while they're planting.
Wow, this is something in the precision that we are taking to the field now, Jason. I mean, this is a leap above what we've done in the past.
That's right. Yeah. So what we say is it'll allow a farmer to apply exactly what they need precisely where they need it. And so they're only focusing on applying products only in those areas that those products are needed and not anywhere else.
And that's going to take some hardware on the equipment, no doubt about it. We've got Kevin Barco with us. He is from Trimble. What is the hardware that we're putting on this?
Absolutely. So from Trimble's perspective, the hardware is actually quite basic. So, you know, Trimble's been in the precision agricultural space for many years, and we've always wanted to try to make things more simple for the farmer so they can increase their bottom line. So from a hardware perspective, as it relates to SIMPAS, the nice thing is that we are very big into ISO technology as well, and we wanted to make it very flexible to be used by any farmer. Whereas we would love for every system to be run by a Trimble display, we realize that that's not always possible. So when you put different color planters across the farms, we want to make sure that hardware can fit any one display that's in that cab already, in that tractor that's pulling.
What's the timeline on the rollout here, Kevin?
Right now we're doing a handful of, I say, beta sites, if you want to call it that. But our plan is to roll it retail-wise in 2021, so next year.
Very cool. That is some exciting stuff coming in the world of precision ag. Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Kevin.
Got equipment to sell privately but tired of scams and hassles? Then list it for sale on MachineryPete.com, the simple and secure way to buy and sell equipment online. Reach millions of buyers nationwide. Connect with legitimate buyers. Get pricing guidance. Don't wait. Sell it yourself on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com and click on Sell Mine.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Are you ready?
Yes. Crazy. You know what makes this even You know what makes this even better?
What's that?
Is that my son and his beautiful bride, Bailey, were married on September 21.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, we can fool them every now and then, and I'll start this off, and they're like, "Oh, isn't that nice?" And then all of a sudden, it's crazy.
Best mashup ever.
Ever. Ever. That's fantastic. Love it. Love it. Love it. Hey.
Yeah.
There was a quarterly hogs and pigs report out this afternoon.
Oh, you don't say.
Yes, there was.
I think we were expecting, what, a 3.4% expansion in the national herd, as I recall. Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct. We got a 4%. Go to profarmer.com to get the very specific changes, because the guys always do a great job of taking these hogs and pigs reports and the quarterly or the monthly cattle and feed reports, and they do a great job of breaking it down and making them make sense, I guess. But the general expectations were for a 3.4% increase in the total number of hogs and pigs on March 1. We got a 4% increase, according to USDA. Now, I'm going to jump down to the market hog inventory, which was up 4%. The trade was looking for about a 3.5% increase there. But we got a 4% increase. All right? Now, obviously, that is by far the biggest, the majority of the population is the market hog inventory. So what is there? Like, here, I can find the number real quick. 71.3 million head. Of market hog inventory in the country. So that puts your breeding herd at 6.38 million head. Get this. Up slightly from last year, but down 1% from the previous quarter. The market hog inventory was up 4% from last year, but down 1% from last quarter. All number of all hogs and pigs up 4% from March 1 of 2019, but down 1% from December 1 of 2019. So quarter to quarter, we've got some slight reductions going on, but year to year, we're still in that uptrend. And that's a pretty typical. I'm looking at the chart right now. We typically do get that decline from the fourth quarter into the first quarter of the marketing or of the calendar year in our total number of hogs and pigs on. And so we got the seasonal decline that's out of the way, but that breeding herd being up just slightly from last year, the trade was looking for a 1.4% increase. So I've got to read this as just a touch positive. And you think about it, Davis, you think about it, the way that this near that, that the nearby lean hog contracts, they for a period of time they built in the expectations that we were going to see this huge demand coming in from China. Well, we have seen huge demand come in from China. It's just that we ramped up on the production side that the supply, it didn't overwhelm the market, but it was plentiful enough to weigh those front month contracts down. So we ran them way up to the upside, and then we pulled them back. We saw that enough that it may have discouraged some of those, some of the expansion plans out there. Okay. U.S. hog producers intend to have 3.12 million sows farrow between March and May 2020 and 3.13 million sows between June and August. I believe, let me see if I can find that real quick, but I think what we're probably doing is looking at, let's see, that would be actual farrowings during the period of March, May, up 2% from the same period 2 years earlier, but about the same as a year ago. So then intended farrowings for June, August 2020, down 4% from the same period 1 year ago and down 1% from the same period 2 years ago.
Wow.
Pulling in the expansion in this hog industry.
Well, and that was interesting because going into this report, I was reading about how market watchers had this idea that USDA has been underestimating the expansion in the industry here, and they expected maybe to get some clarification in this report on that. Yeah. But that's interesting, the year-to-year moves, and then to go back two years as
now
well.
Now you make me want to look at the revisions. Oh, okay. Inventory hugs were reviews using final blah, 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 blah.
Millions of people.
Yeah, thank you. The net revisions made to September 2019, all hogs and pigs inventory was 1.2%. A net revision of 3% was made. But I've got to look at the tables to see if it was an up or a down revision, and I'm not gonna find that right offhand. So
a net 3% revision, up or down though. That's
huge.
Huge. Is
yes.
it? Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that 3% is very much, and you know, I would guess that it was an upward revision based on the slaughter pace that we saw, but I'm just kind of making an assumption there. I don't know that for a fact based off of the numbers.
Well, it's an assumption that a lot of people have been making out in farm country.
Hey, one thing that I want to say about this ethanol situation, and we talked about it earlier, if you've got a contract with Valero to deliver, you better make a phone call and find out what the status of that contract is. Okay? How long is this going to last? Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to fill up every storage everywhere right to the top. And I mean, I'm talking about rail cars. I'm talking about everything. We'll get up to about 27 million barrels of ethanol in storage. We're at 24 million and change right now. So we've got a ways to go to fill up that storage. But once we get that storage full, Davis, then it's a question of polishing up the crystal ball and figuring out when we do get to the other side of this and we do start to ramp up our fluid fuel consumption again, because, boy, we're going to need it. We're going to need it. All right. Hey, for Davis and for producer Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we got a free-for-all going. Tomorrow afternoon, Dan Bossy from Ag Resource Company right here on AgriTalk. Hey. Watch out for each other out there.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor.
Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Thanks to Miravis Neo Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Neo or visit the Miravis Neo webpage for more information. Always read and follow label instructions.